You know what's crazy? The fact that for some of you, you have been listening to me, to my journey for, I don't even know, like 3 years. And it's crazy because I have changed so much. I guess we have changed so much in the past 3 years. But through the power of podcasting, we are now tied together. And that's amazing. That's cool. That's the beauty of having a voice, the beauty of sharing a little bit of you with others, with the internet. And I really advise anyone to do so. It's extremely therapeutical. It's really good. So just sit down and talk to a mic. And funny enough, people care. I mean, this podcast, it doesn't have a lot of listeners. It doesn't have a lot of listens. In general, I think on average, we have around 200, which is great. Don't get me wrong. 200 is great. 200 is much more than I thought I would have ever have. You know, that there's people caring about what I have to say, about my indie journey, about me, my life. It's crazy. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. And if you are one of the few that have started listening to me when I first started this podcast with just a phone, thank you. I really appreciate it. What a journey. I've learned so much. You know, when you first started listening to me, you caught me on a transition period. I was transitioning lifestyles and transitioning from the 9-to-5 to the full-time indie-making entrepreneur, being my own boss. It's something really hard to do. Now, when I see myself, I kind of take it for granted. I think, that's fine. I mean, it wasn't that hard, but it was. Every time you do a big change in life, it's hard. It's hard for many reasons. Not only because of yourself, but as well the people around you, right? Your family, your loved ones. They will question everything because they are worried about you. They want you to succeed, and they're also a little bit selfish, to be honest. They want to feel good. Your parents, for instance. Why are parents always very cautious? Because they want to feel good as well. They want to know that their son or daughter is safe and that they can sleep at night, that they are doing the best they can, and risk-free normally is a great strategy. But that doesn't mean it's the best for you directly. And in life, we need to go through these transitions. And the indie transition, it was hard. Not only because at first I had no money, but as well because it like the way indie maker lives is different. Again, the lifestyle is different. Now, again, after 3 years, it kind of seems natural that I don't have a schedule, that I can wake up at whatever time I want, that I can work at whatever days I want, and as well that there's always some responsibility. I cannot just shut down. But I grew up with this now, and it's part of who I am. It's part of my life. Now, funny enough, I still feel a bit of the pressure of society. Not necessarily about my job, no. That I think myself and everyone around me, they kind of accepted. I guess now it's easier because I'm making money, and there's, for my parents, for people around me, it's a little bit more risk-free. They don't feel so worried. But even at first, when I first told everyone that I was going to quit my job, my developer paying job, to just follow my instincts and start a project. Well, at first they didn't really understand. They thought it was some kind of weird vacation I was doing. But then after, months, after like a year, they accepted it. They knew Thiago is following his heart, his passion. Even though I was making almost zero money, they accepted it. And everything, every decision in life, funny enough, people first will question it. They will tell you not to do it. But then eventually, they will accept it. They will move on with their lives. That is crazy. In anything, really, anything. If you choose to move to another country, at first they'll be like, but why did you move? You are here, you are safe. But then they accept it. If you choose to have kids or not to have kids, at first people will not accept it, but then they'll be like, yeah, okay, that's his or her choice. If you choose to change professions, to whatever, any decision, it can be a simple one, it can be a more complex, more life-changing one, eventually people will accept it. Now, the question is, will you? Will you ever get out of that bubble of constraints and accept yourself? With indie making, I think I did. I totally accepted myself. I feel now that I'm an entrepreneur, for sure. That was my passion. There was, you know, there was no other way. There was no other way, and I truly believe that it took me too long. It took me too much time to make this decision. I was 28 when I first gave up my job to focus 100%, to really give it a shot to my dream. I was making projects for long before that, but there's a difference. There's a difference between doing projects on the side and really making this your life. It's a huge difference. It's really, really big. And I think I did it maybe too late. Don't get me wrong, I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot of things by working for others. I learned a lot of things by living abroad. So it's not that I regret it, but I do think that I could have started a bit earlier. Yeah, that's for sure. One thing that I'm always trying to do, and this is a little bit more personal, is to ignore what society says about you. What are the norms of society? It's something really hard. And a lot of people, funny enough, they look at me and they say, like, no, Tiago, but I mean, you don't care about what the others say. No, I do. I do care. And sometimes, I don't know if it's the same for you, but sometimes they don't even say anything. Let's take the example of, whatever, giving up your job to focus with indie making. Sometimes you're already imagining what your family, friends, loved ones will say. But they didn't even say anything. Maybe they won't. It's just in your mind. It's in your head. I don't know if ever happens to you. You're just walking, whatever. You go to the supermarket and you take some dirty clothes. Would you ever? Would you ever take some dirty clothes to the supermarket or some damaged, whatever, t-shirt? Most people won't, because we care about what others say. But in reality, why? Why do we care about what others might think of us? Biologically speaking, maybe this is kind of a way for us to fit in. It's survival, right? We want to be part of society so that we feel protected, so that they can protect us. And once we are protected, we are safe. And because of that, we want to fit in, right? But again, going back to the book I've been kind of speaking about in the past episodes, The 4-Hour Workweek, Tim Ferriss, he gives really interesting advice, some kind of tests, really, or challenges. One thing that it tells you to do is to randomly just sit down on the floor. Actually, lay down on the floor, wherever you are. If you are in the bus, lay down on the floor. If you are in the supermarket, lay down on the floor for 10 seconds. People will look at you weird, obviously. They'll be like, hey, are you okay? Like, yeah, I just felt like resting. And you just get up and leave. Would you ever do this? It sounds so awkward. It sounds very, very awkward. But in reality, who cares? Who fucking cares? I mean, yeah, these people will have some funny story. They'll say to their family or friends, yeah, this guy just randomly sat down in the middle of the aisle and then just got up and walked away. That's funny. But in reality, how will this affect your life? It won't. Another exercise that he says that one should do is to look people in the eye. Random people. Just fix your eyesight with theirs and look until they say something. And if they do, you just say, sorry, I thought you were a friend. This kind of confrontation, I think it's a great exercise so that you can get out of your own head and start giving zero fucks to what other people think. But it's hard. It's very, very hard. When you get to your 30s, like I am now, 31, yeah, 31, getting 32, there's a lot of pressure in terms of here you should have things figured out. 20s are the years where everything is allowed. All right, that person just figured out whatever they want to do. But once you get to the 30s, you should have things figured out. You should have partner figured out. You should have whatever, maybe marriage, kids, mortgage or house or a profession or whatever. I don't know. There are certain standards. I don't know if you feel the same. At least I do feel that. I'm sure it's not the same everywhere in the world. But yeah, breaking free of this is not easy. Breaking free of these days of, yeah, things should be figured out. I should be keeping up because all of your friends start having kids. All of your friends start, whatever, getting married, getting seriously, getting a house, whatever. And it's I don't know, it's funny. It's funny how we humans think. And yeah, sometimes I still care about what they say, what they think. Even though they are not saying, I care about what society might think of me. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm trying to get better. You know, I really do this exercise of, let's say I have a social gathering or some awkward interaction. I mean, everyone has one, right? From time to time. So I have this awkward interaction. And in the past, I would think, oh my God, what would they think of me? And now I try to immediately move on, to stop thinking about it. Don't go spiraling. Just move on with your life. Fuck it. I try to do that and I'm getting better. I'm definitely getting better. And again, following my passion as an entrepreneur and actually achieving something helped with my self-confidence and helped to believe in myself that my things, my way also works. And that's so powerful. It's so fucking powerful when you feel that your ways, your ideas actually work, that you have the control over your life. It's really empowering. Yeah, that's for sure. So now I've trying to figure out this kind of part, the part of like, how do I mix work with social life, right? If my partner and I are about to have, if we have a kid, or how would this kid fit in? How would this kid fit in this indie hacker's life? Is it possible even, right? Or do I need to just accept that I'll be a worst entrepreneur? So those are things that I've been trying to integrate in my way of working. How can I still be effective and still beat the market and beat the competitors and become a better entrepreneur even though I have a kid and responsibilities? How would this even fit in? So yeah, these are the kind of questions I start asking myself. We are not pregnant, but it's, I mean, one starts worrying, right? Like, wondering. How would that fit in? And I kind of came up with this conclusion, which is a business for me should have three main aspects. Which is, or maybe let me start with this other way. I think that the way you make money, wealth, is not only with your profession, right? It can also be with your portfolio, with your investments. If you are making a good salary, you can actually make a lot of money, not only from your salary, but by investing your money. One thing that I recommend everyone to do is to just sit down and have kind of a money Excel sheet where you write down each month how much money you have. How much money you have in the bank, how much money you have in ETFs, or where you have your money invested, right? If you have a house, how much is this house valued? If you have a car, how much is, what's, the car is hard because every month you need to kind of update and normally goes down, but you know what I mean? Try to write everything down and see how you're distributing your money. And it's a great exercise. It gives a little bit of peace of mind as well. But for me, I'm starting to think that I should invest in more assets, right? It's not only my business, which is my biggest asset at the moment, but whatever, putting money on ETFs, putting money, and everything I'm investing money, it should be that, an investment, right? There are a few things that I know that, whatever, food, groceries, traveling, it's for me, it's for myself, but this will never pay back in terms of money. But there are other things like, you know, buying a flat that will bring money eventually, right? If the market is right. So one thing that it's in common in all these kind of quote unquote businesses for me is they must have three important aspects. Three. First, or I'm not saying by priority, like all of the three are important, but one is it needs to be fun. It needs to be fun. Like, I need to be doing that with pleasure. I need to be happy to wake up in the morning and knowing that I'll be doing something fun. And I don't know, pot squeeze is fun. Building stuff is fun. But getting a house or an Airbnb is also fun, right? If you have this kind of business, a house, let's say you have a house that you are renting as an Airbnb in whatever, next to the beach. But then you can just go there for a week. Every year, can you go there for a week or 2 weeks and spend there your holidays? And that's fun. That's very fun. You can bring your friends, your loved ones, just go there. That's cool. So that's aspect number one, fun. Two, it needs to make money, right? Otherwise, not an investment. Otherwise, not an asset. It might be that some make more money than others, but in general, it needs to make money. And third is that it needs to be somehow passive. With that, I don't mean fully passive. There's no fully passive income. But it should work even without me putting a lot of attention into it. Funny enough, again, going back to the rental properties and housing and so on, it's a great way, it seems. I mean, it's fun, it makes money, and it's somehow passive. Sure, you still need to work a little bit on that. If you are renting, if there's a problem with a property or something, you need to fix it. But it, fortunately or hopefully, it won't be every day, right? Maybe you will work a few hours per month, but you have there a good source of income and it's fun. And the same with Pod Squeeze, for instance. And that's kind of what are we doing now with Pod Squeeze. How can we delegate some of our tasks so that I can regain a lot of my time and the business is still going? I can only focus in the things that I must do. And even those things, how can I automate those? So what I'm trying now is to, instead of frenetically waking up and checking all the metrics and stressing about it and changing strategies, no. I sat down, opened my calendar, and defined a bunch of important tasks. One, for instance, is, let's say, reviewing my metrics, business metrics. Now, instead of doing that every single day, sometimes twice a day, there's one day a week that I sit down and review the metrics and make decisions. All the other days, I just wait. I don't see it. I just wait. Because, again, it doesn't matter. Things can change in a day because whatever, it's holiday. But that won't influence your strategy. You need more time. Other things like reviewing work of the people that work with us, right? Like if you have a freelancer working, I don't know, as a developer or with our podcast, I don't need to control their work every day. But if I have a specific day that I know, okay, let's start with every 2 weeks. I'll check what they're doing and I'll check how the metrics are going and I will do adjustments. And if you see that every 2 weeks is too often, you make it every month or every 2 months. And the goal is to reduce these kind of interactions, to reduce these reviews as much as you can without damaging the business. It's to give trust to these people, to enable them so that they can thrive, they can have independence, responsibility, so that the business can get better, to have a healthy business. And then you regain that time and you do whatever you want, right? If you have kids, you can be with them. If you want to travel, if you want to be with your spouse, with your family, if you just want to sleep, whatever, that's your time because you regain that. And I really believe that that's the way of entrepreneurship. That's the way how you gain wealth as well, by the way. It's funny because I'm now listening to another book called, Intelligent Investor. Very dense book, really. I don't recommend. It's very dense. It's a bit outdated. But there are some concepts that are very interesting. And one thing they say is that the big fortunes, the huge fortunes, are made with only one company. Take Bill Gates. Take Mark Zuckerberg. They focus on one company that did really, really well, and they're billionaires. So the advice that a lot of people will say is just focus on one company. Focus on one company that will make you a billionaire. But that's wrong, because you're focusing on the one in 1 billion. You're focusing on the guy that just got lucky and built a huge company, but as well because he started or she started in that specific time, right? Chances of you getting the same luck are very low. And if you look now into average wealth, not billionaires, but millionaires or multimillionaires, a lot of them, they didn't focus on only one company. They have a spread out portfolio. They focus on multiple things. Because once you automate one business, now you can focus on another one. You can put your time there. And suddenly that one is also making money now. That one is also growing. And now you automate that and you go to the next one and go to the next one. And eventually, I guess there will be a limit. But hopefully we'll get there. I'll let you know about that and I'll let you know what I learned. Now, last thing I want to talk with you about, it's an important decision. Again, going back to my lifestyle, going back to being happy, kind of not only with work and the way I live. As an entrepreneur, it can be really lonely, right? And I do have a co-founder, which is great, but we work from home. And working from home is great until you do it every day for years. Once you do that, especially if you're like me, a bit extrovert, I crave for just sometimes getting out of the house, you know, just walking, just having a routine and meeting others. So one way that I try to compensate this is to get an office. And I spoke with you as well about it. Like, how cool would it be to have a nice little office where we could go and maybe even get a few other makers there and we can just share rent. And in the end, whatever, they just pay the rent for us or we just split rent and it's quite cheap and it's much cheaper than a co-working space and it's our space. You know, a space of creativity, a space where we can record this podcast and we have YouTube, you can record videos on YouTube and there's people building cool stuff all in one place. That's awesome, right? I don't know. I am very excited about this. So I started checking for, you know, rental properties like offices. And we found one, which is cool. I mean, it's 40 square meters and it's nice. There's a nice balcony, which I love. That has sun that you can just grab a beer and sit down if you want to chillax. You can have people there and it's a good place. It's not too far away from my house or the flat of my co-founder. We can actually walk there. It's nice. It's really cool. So it makes me think, well, shall we go for it? But it's not super expensive, but in the end we'll just pay, I think, $500, which we can afford. I mean, we need to take out of our paycheck, obviously, or for our profits, but we can afford. Now, is it something that will make the business better? Maybe. It's not obvious. I mean, maybe we'll go there and work. It will be more creative. Will we even go every day? Probably not. I mean, we also like working from home. We like the hybrid mode. So, shall we do it? That's the question. Like, shall we go for it? I mean, I want to do it, but I feel like, you know, the kid that wants a PlayStation, whatever, 5 or 6. I don't even know how many we have now, but maybe once I get it, I won't like it. Maybe once I get it, I will use it for the first month and I'll be like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to go to this office, which is fine. I mean, we can just stop renting it afterwards. But yeah, it's an important decision and something that we need to make. I'll let you know. But how cool. Like, imagine, then I can have some of my friends, I can have you, you know, imagine you come to Lisbon and you want to work, you are indie maker, you can just spend a few days there just working with us. That'll be nice, right? Anyways, if you have any suggestions on what I should do regarding this office, DM me on Twitter, WBTiago. If you want to just discuss or give your thoughts on all the topics I discussed today. Today was a little bit more philosophical episode. I would love to hear your feedback. I would love to hear if you're going through the same in your life, if you already figured it out, what are your thoughts. DM me on Twitter, WBETiago, and it's also on the show notes of this episode. Thank you so much for listening to me. I wish you a lovely, amazing indie week. And see you next Monday.